Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at age 23, Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 25th, just a month to Christmas. Well, this has been a rather interesting day from the point of view of commodities, and particularly the dollar, with the dollar considerably weaker right across the board in here today, with it pushing through the $1.50 level on the euro and actually closing on the low of the day against the euro at 151.33. Against the Swiss franc, it went down and touched parity earlier on today, but is again closing on the low of the day and is actually below the parity level right now and at 99 cents, 66. Against the pound, it was also weaker by over a cent, and against the Japanese yen, it's pushed down to 87.37 as I speak. And that's a multi-year low for the dollar against the yen. Against this background of a weaker dollar and a reassertion of the overall medium-term downtrend for the dollar, this has been a rather positive day on the commodity front. Gold was up by $20 and continues to push on upwards to the ups, push on to new high ground. It's approaching the $1,200 level, which has been a psychological target for a large number of people. So it wouldn't be too surprising if it were to encounter a little bit of resistance in this area, but it remains remarkably consistent. It's advanced by approximately 12% in the month of November, and this is a larger advance than we've seen in the previously in the course of the uptrend since last June. The normal sized reaction that we've seen previously has been in the region of about $50. So on a trend running basis, a stop in the region of $60 would probably be advisable. But gold is certainly picking up pace at this point. And while it's probably a little early to say that it is accelerating, it is certainly moving up a little bit faster than we've become used to over the last 6 months. So there is the potential that we could have a period where it is moving into this accelerating phase, in which case having a little bit of a tighter stop might be justified for a part of one's position at least. On the other hand, if it does pull back from this $1,200 level, I think there would be a large cohort of investors, certainly myself included, who would be looking on it as a potential buying opportunity, provided it finds a support in the region of a $50 retracement. Personally, I've still got my February position that I purchased in the region of $1,050, and I'm looking for an opportunity to increase that position. But I've been a bit slow to do it, and I will be lo I'm, well. I've been waiting for a pullback, which hasn't materialized. I ha was very tempted to open another position in gold in here today, but I'm willing to wait a little while longer in case it does pull back from the $1,200 level. And if I'm wrong in that assumption, then I'll pay the price in terms of a lost opportunity. Oil has also been relatively weak over the last 5 or 6 days. It pulled back from the $80 level and went down and had a look at $75 earlier today. But as we approach the close, it's actually closing up in the day over $2, so in the region of $78. And when we look at gold relative to oil, well, it's been quite an outperformer since oil has done very little of anything in the last month, indeed 6 weeks, whereas gold has really pushed onward to the upside. And that ratio is touching the upper side of that range. So if oil were to start to catch up at this point, then we would remain in that comparative equilibrium between oil and gold. But if the ratio can break outwards to the upside, then that would suggest that we might be in for a period of a more prolonged outperformance by the yellow metal. So it is little bit of a tipping point potentially for that particular ratio, and probably worth watching with a view to which is going to outperform in the short term to perhaps a couple of months. Stock markets were generally firm in here today. The vast majority were up on the day, not by any great deal. As we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up about a third of 1%, the same for the Nasdaq, and the S&P is up about 0.4 of 1%. The majority of European indices were up less than 1%, but more than a half of 1%, and in Asia, it was a relatively quiet day as well, generally firm. China bounced back, retracing much of yesterday's decline, so that's good positive action, and it was a generally firm tone across the region. Looking at the bigger picture, we have the dollar reasserting its medium-term downtrend, and it hasn't done anything to offset potential for the dollar to continue in this consistent downtrend. However, we are beginning to see that central banks, other than the Fed, are becoming a little bit antsy about the strength of their own currencies relative to the dollar. We have also seen that the dollar has retraced the vast majority of its panicky advance from last year in a number of commodity-related currencies. And those commodity-related economies have been some of the better performers in absolute terms over the last year. Commodity-related economies were less affected, or indeed very little affected, by the root causes of the credit crisis. And their problem was more in terms of liquidity drying up in a very short period of time. But they haven't had the same recessionary and deflationary pressures that we've had in a number of the OECD countries, and they are bouncing back much firmer and faster. And that helps to justify the fact that they have retraced the vast majority of their declines over the last year. However, one does have to ask the question as to are they as strong, or does the strength of the currency correlate with the strength of the various economies in the region, in the commodity sector? And that, I think, is a debatable question. And with a number of countries really starting to think about how they're going to stop their currency from appreciating against the dollar, one does have to begin to ask the question as to how much further the dollar can depreciate against some of these stronger currencies. Now, of course, there are still lots of currencies against which the dollar hasn't been as weak as some of those commodity producers, and against those it has potential to deteriorate further. The Mexican peso, I think, would be a good example of a commodity-related currency that has been relatively steady against the dollar, rather than appreciating by any great amount. So there is potential for the dollar to deteriorate against some of these lagging currencies. And we are seeing that in those broader indices, such as the Latin American dollar index or the Asian dollar index, that those are also consistent uptrends, or for the currencies concerned against the dollar, and nothing has happened to break those consistency characteristics, and they're not particularly overextended, and they do look like they have further room to deteriorate. So with the dollar, or with the euro, pushing above the $1.50 area in here today, it does open the potential that we're going to see a retest of the dollar index's lows in the next few months. Last time we were down there, the potential for multilateral intervention was really quite serious, and it isn't too much of a stretch to expect that we could have similar talk if we do see the dollar index getting back down to that low. The Fed has been reasonably happy about the deterioration of the dollar over the last year, and it's been massaging the currency lower. It's not in anyone's interests that the dollar deteriorate in a very swift manner, but if it eases back towards those lows we saw last year in the dollar index, that is going to be a tailwind for risk assets. It's probably not going to have anyone particularly worried, provided the dollar is pulling back on a relatively steady basis rather than accelerating lower. If we do see an acceleration in the dollar's downtrend, then the chances are that that is going to be associated with panicky selling of the currency and makes the likelihood of some sort of intervention to support the dollar much more likely. So, provided we see the dollar continuing to trend relatively steadily lower, that is probably the best case scenario for risk assets such as stock markets and commodity markets. Precious metals are certainly benefiting from the weakness of the dollar and the increasing questions about the viability of fiat currencies' ability to maintain their value over a period of time. And certainly gold is a hedge against worst case type scenarios, either inflationary or deflationary. And you also, of course, have the fundamentals of the market where the supply and demand element is in favor of demand at this stage. So gold has significant room to appreciate in the medium term, and it has successfully broken above this $1,000 level. We're starting to see that silver, platinum, and palladium are playing catch up, and that is to be expected in this kind of environment. And gold shares are currently touching or testing their 2008 highs around the 500 level on the Gold Bugs Index of unhedged gold shares, and they really do look like they can go further to the upside in this particular medium-term move, and a downward dynamic would be needed really to indicate that there was anything other than short-term resistance around that area. So it remains a very bullish environment for the precious metals and industrial metals today, where we're also quite firm. We're seeing that copper has held its push above the $3 level on that COMEX contract really quite well, that aluminium and zinc are within striking distance of their recovery highs, and there's a general firmness to the sector generally. Tin is probably also one to watch because it was the last of the industrial metals to top out last year, and it has been lagging in the current advance, but that may not necessarily remain the case for very much longer. It's been pushing back up towards the upper side of its base, and it does appear to be only a matter of time before we see it breaking to the upside. So the industrial metal complex does look to be in good shape overall, and remains a sound recovery candidate. The soft commodities sector is also of interest here. Soybeans remain or have held above this $10 level. Corn remains above this $4 level, and the soft commodity sector generally is beginning to attract interest. Cotton has broken to the upside. Rice is also pushing upwards. We've seen that some of the leaders in the sector, such as corn and sugar, have paused somewhat. Sorry, not corn, cocoa and sugar have paused somewhat in the last few weeks, but they have held their gains very well. And there's this general, if you look at those very long-term charts of soft commodities, there is a striking resemblance in the fact that they have all found support above those long, long-term bases that were in evidence for the better part of 20 years. And that is broadly supportive of agricultural commodity type shares, and the fertilizer shares are relatively cheap around these levels, so they have the potential to play catch up. And there is significant catch up to play, considering how well the industrial metal shares have been doing over the last year. The energy complex is also of note. In natural gas, the December contract has rolled into the January, and natural gas was up 36 cents in here today, pushing above the $5 level on that January contract, and it does look like it has further to go on the upside. So perhaps we are going to see energy playing a little bit of catch up in the short to medium term, and it certainly has room to advance, particularly in view of the fact that industrial commodities are doing so much better in the last few days. So when we look at the markets, the status quo that's developed, where you have this symbiotic relationship between a weak dollar and strength in risk assets, remains very much in force. The progressions of higher reaction lows remain in evidence for the vast majority of stock markets, and the loss of momentum that's been in evidence for the last couple of months is contributing to a mean reversion in this ranging type consolidation, and that is remains healthy action. And provided the progression of higher reaction lows remains in place, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And the same is very true of the commodity sector as well, and it's an inverse correlation to the progression of lower highs in the dollar. So we have this symbiotic relationship that remains very much in force, and until we see Wall Street on the equity front beginning to break the progression of higher reaction lows, or we start to see the dollar having a larger rally, then there won't be any major reason to question that relationship. Government bonds at current levels, where they've been ranging for much of the last 4 months, are not an impediment to the stock markets at these levels. And for example, you look at the Canadian 10-year bond yield has pushed down out of its current range. So if anything, we're seeing a little bit of strength in the government bonds rather than weakness, and that's not an impediment to the wider stock markets. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and wish all the best to all of you.